Have a seat. The selection we read today from the Song of Solomon is a nice illustration of the relationship God has with humanity. Imagine, if you will, God as the beloved in that text, leaping on the mountains and running over the hills, God being joyous for its own sake. To the beloved, everything is possible, and everything is available to explore and interact with and discover. There is beauty all around, and celebrating it is what God's beloveds do best. Imagine now that humanity is the one that God, the beloved, approaches. The beloved is coy, sneaking a peek over the wall into the windows. The beloved is almost flirtatious, peering through the latticework. The beloved is alluring, tempting humanity to come out now that the rain is past. The beloved asks, "Do you detect the smell of blossoms? Lean in closer. Shut out all of the distracting things and noises around you and listen carefully for the song of the turtle dove. Do you hear it? No? Well, come with me and I'll show you." The beloved is doing everything possible to encourage humanity to enjoy and join in to the celebration of all things. The beloved knows how to enjoy the abundance of creation and is eager to teach humanity how to do it too. Humanity has been shut up in the house, behind the wall, for so long that we've forgotten to see the world and all the beautiful, abundant details there are out there. And because it's been such a long and rainy season, we're hesitant to go out. Do you know people like that? People who shy away from doing things or getting too involved in activities? Now, I know there are a lot of people who are really just introverts, and being so demonstrably celebrative is too far outside their comfort zone. Those aren't the people that I'm thinking of. What I have in mind are all of those people who've been told at one time or another not to get too excited about anything. The fear of having the rug pulled out from under you while you're still dancing on it is enough to make anyone not want to dance at all. Disappointment can sting. You know, I had a music professor in seminary named Milner. Milner firmly believed that everyone can sing. He believed that at some point, we're all told something like, "Don't sing," or "You can't sing," or we're made to feel bad about our voices so that we don't want to suffer the embarrassment of trying to sing, and so we stop singing altogether. Milner had the unshakable belief that human beings were built to sing, and that singing was a gift that God gave to us to glorify God. So we ought to all be singing, and everyone and anyone who says "don't" or "we can't" is deliberately getting in the way of God's purpose for us. How then can we truly be what we have been created to be? When we send our voices into hiding, all of humanity suffers. When we send our voices into hiding, all of humanity suffers. There's a wonderful movie, perhaps you've seen it. It's a good illustration of this. Have you seen the movie Hook with Robin Williams? Robin Williams plays the part of a grown-up Peter Pan. He was returned to the regular world from Neverland and grew up to lead a boring life as a corporate cog. He wears confining suits with matching shoes in three different shades of blah and meh. The adult Peter conforms to the customs and expectations of a very bland business world. Peter has lost his spark. That eager playfulness that makes Peter Pan who he really is was quenched. In the movie Hook, adult Peter is transported back to Neverland, where he's reunited with the Lost Boys, who remain as they were when Peter departed. They still see the world as adventurous, with pirates and Tinkerbells. Now, the scene I have in mind is the banquet they throw to celebrate the return of Peter Pan. Grown-up Peter, though, is exhausted and hungry from his abrupt and unscheduled return to Neverland. The Lost Boys gather excitedly at the dinner table as steaming pots of feast are brought out for them. The boys exclaim with delight as all their favorite foods are served up in abundance and they chow down. A large pot is placed before Peter and the lid is lifted. When the steam clears, we and Peter see an empty pot. Looking around the table, Peter sees none of the plates and platters have anything on them. The boys are all talking with their mouths full, but there's no food. Peter slumps in his seat, and that's when the Lost Boys realize that Peter has forgotten how to use his imagination. That's why he can't see all the food that's right in front of him. There's so much all around him. But unless Peter chooses to unlearn the fear of using his imagination, until Peter chooses to release joy that's been held captive behind the wall and window and latticework of his soul, he'll starve. Like Milner's story of singing, I think somehow, someone, somewhere, at some time, told Peter Pan that his imagination should not sing and that he shouldn't use it. So Peter Pan went into hiding, and all of Neverland suffered. When the beloved from the Song of Solomon enters, it's for the purpose of calling humanity out of its hiding places. God knows we need to seek shelter from the rain, but we're not meant to stay hidden away. We're meant to recognize and interact with everything that God has created for us. The world is a beautiful place with many beautiful people in it. There is abundance all around us, and we get to take advantage of that and enjoy it. Hiding ourselves away from it, like that other person in the Song of Solomon, invites not safety, but suffering. But God doesn't just call us out. No, God entices us. God makes creation inviting and appealing. Everything that God calls us to be is just beyond the window, just over the wall, just through the latticework of our being. It's all out there. Staying inside and hiding away who we are and what we are called to be and do serves no one and nothing. We glorify God by our interaction with what God has created all around us, with the source and authenticity of who God created us to be. There is no failure here. There is no threat of loss. There is only possibility and grace. The only thing we must not do is stand still. Perhaps we are called to be more like the beloved, inviting others to come out from their hiding places. Who do you know that could use a little joyful enticing to get back out there? In what ways can you demonstrate your joy in God's creation with all you are and with all that you do? In our second reading from the letter of James, we read, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers." We were meant to be active in our faith, engaging with our Creator with the gifts that have been given to us. We are they who interact with our neighbors, seeking joy and inviting others to find their joy. This is what glorifies God. The whole point of the letter to James is to be people who act. This is not simply busy work. I greatly dislike busy work. The encouragement to act on our faith is more than giving us something to do. It's a means of meeting God in our activities. God is out there, peering in the window, looking over the wall, calling to you from behind the latticework. Milner Seifert had everyone singing before the first semester of seminary was done. We sang in class, of course, and in chapel, but you would then often hear a tune echoing through the stone hallways. Someone was singing for no other reason than that they could. Before the banquet scene in the movie Hook is done, Peter Pan remembers who he is and the unique gifts he was given to bring life and vitality to his community of lost boys. Peter remembers how to laugh and play and imagine and express the joy of being that is the source of who Peter Pan is. He remembers how to fly. The question we are left with this morning is simple. Are you ready to go out and play? Amen.